We're in a series entitled Made, and we have reached what I would say is a critical point in this series. And if nothing else, it is an absolute statement that all of us need to carry. I want to talk from this thought. I am nothing without the oil. I am nothing without the oil. As a pastor and as a preacher, one of the best and sometimes worst things that can happen is when people come to you after a worship service and tell you how wonderful the sermon was. And some people are looking and saying, shouldn't you be grateful when people say nice things about when you preach? And the truth is, after over 20 years of ministry, I have learned that depending on the person, the opinion can be fickle. Because one day somebody can come up to you and say, you should be all around the country talking what you're talking. And in the same breath, the next week, because the word convicted, they may say nothing to you at all, as if you did not give the same effort as you did the week before. But then there are people who are genuine in affirming what God is doing in you. And those people are extremely important. Not just to preachers, but to anybody doing anything in the service of the Lord. Because they come along and they constantly point back to the fact, or they humble you in such a way where you can always point back to this one fact, that you can't do what you do unless God has anointed you for it. Amen. Every time I hear somebody say something affirmative or positive about how God bless them, it causes me to go back to my knees and say, I thank you, Lord, that you did it again. Because church, I don't care how many degrees I possess and how much I have learned, how many things I will ever do, this cannot be done unless God has given me the oil. Church, where we are today, is no less an amazing thing because God gave us in 2019 some serious oil. Can we reflect for a minute? I don't care what and how big the idea or how massive it looked in comparison to our condition, God gave us some serious oil. We have been able to serve people we would have not normally seen. We've been able to reach folk that we didn't even know were within our quarters. And it's because God has anointed us to do a work that is not about us, but about him. I don't want any of us to leave out of here. Let me say this up front. I don't think I'm going to do a whole lot of hollering today. I just want to just emphasize that at moments when you think that you ain't doing nothing, And at moments you think that folk have forgotten about you because it doesn't seem like they're looking for you. Or moments when you think that the only people that are making things happen are the loudest folk around. I want to remind you, that's not always the case. Look at David. If you've been in Bible study the last few months, Lord, you should be out here in the middle of this aisle on the floor and on your face. Because David, before we see all of his proclivities, you got to study David from his beginning. Because his beginning is so, it just doesn't make sense. Unless it don't make sense. Dude was sitting out with sheep, right? Okay, well, you and I talk for a minute. Well, I'll do most of the talking, you just nod, okay? Cool. All right, so dude sitting out with sheep, minding his business, writing songs, working on his musicianship, right? Smelling like the sheep because he has to be around them, taking places, all that stuff. And while he's doing his job, God is on the backside talking to his priest, his prophet, Samuel, saying, I'm sick and tired of this dude Saul that I chose because he done lost his mind. He got a little power and started to believe that this was about him. So now I got to do the crazy thing and fire him. But because he's so wrapped up, he ain't even gonna know he fired. Because what I'm about to do is take my hand off of him. I let him keep the crown, the robe, and everything, but I'm gonna take my hand off of him.
That's right.
And I'm going to rescind the oil I put on him. And I gotta find somebody new. So what he decided was, I'm going to find somebody. And God has an interesting way. He already makes his decisions before we come to the party. I don't know how you think it works, but before we show up to the party, God has already made a decision. We're just supposed to fall in line with said decision. All right. So tell Samuel, don't be weeping over Saul. Come on, let's go. I know who the guy is. I'm going to tell you where to go. You ain't going to need a GPS for it. Go to Jesse's house. When you go to Jesse's house, bring your little offering. Have a little worship together, a little fellowship. And I promise you, he's there. Goes to Jesse's house. Shotgun goes to Jesse's house. You know, probably went with all his vessels and stuff. Because you got to look official. Go knock on the door. I'm like, hey, man, listen. I'm here on business, but let's sit down and let's talk. They talk, and he said, look, God's got me here on a mission, told me that what he's looking for is here, and it's one of your sons. So what I need you to do, get all your boys out, because me and God got to have a conversation about him. So I know what I need to do. Jesse, being the kind of dad he was hype. But being the kind of messed up father he was, he only brought 7 of the 8. So he brought all the other boys. And they sat. They worshiped together, they shouted together, they did all kind of stuff. And then Samuel's like, okay, now God, you know, you want me to do this interview, right? Now here's how God does an interview. You don't even get to sit down and answer questions. Says, just let them pass by you and I'll tell you if you even need to fool with them. Oh, this is deep. Because look, you know how all of us have gone after a job, we had to put a resume out there, do this and do that, not that. That's stressful.
Yes.
But imagine you going into an open interview and you don't even know if you're going to get to sit down and even answer some questions. You're supposed to walk by. And God is going to choose you based on a criteria that you don't even know about. So here comes the first one. Samuel says, this got to be the one. He look good. He's strong. He died. Nay, ain't it. Next. Here come the next one. Come on, man. This got to, you know, he's younger. He got that, Nope. Next. And then he got to another one. Got to be. And then God gave him insight, gave Samuel insight, said, look, this is how the interview process is going to go. Here are the requirements. You look at that stuff that I don't care about. Here's what I care about. You looking at the outward appearance, yes. The qualified, man, this is a word right here. You better catch this, and if you're writing, write it down. The qualified, I'm going to look on their heart. The qualified, they're going to have the right heart for this. The qualified have the right heart. This ain't even a point in the message. This is just extra for you. Stop worrying about what other folk perceive about you. Because what God cares about is your heart. Went through all seven that were assembled, and God said, the one I want is still here. So ask the question. Samuel asked, now look, is this it? Because I ain't going to tell God that he's wrong. You got somebody else up in here, don't you? You ain't going to mess up my spot with God. There's somebody else here. And reluctantly, Jesse says, yeah, I got my son out in the field. And Samuel looked at, I venture to say, Samuel probably looked at him cross-eyed and said, well, what you doing? Mm-hmm. Get him. Jesse probably looking like, you don't want him. But no, and this is how serious Samuel was. He said, we ain't going to do nothing until he comes. And then here comes the working boy. Yeah. Smelling like sheep. Yeah. Hair everywhere. Been working all day. He comes in the house. And then Samuel gets the nod from heaven. Pulls out not a vial of oil to just give him a little dab. No, he pulled out the whole horn. And poured every drop of oil over David. Wait for it, in front of his father and his brother. And in that moment, God elevated what was not seen as being valuable to a place of new and next level. If you want to see God do the things that have been promised to you in your life, one thing is necessary. You need the anointing. I have met people that are more talented than me. They speak well and they have better diction and they are well learned, but they ain't got the oil. I have met people that can sing until the roof caves in, but can't call on heaven with a note. I have met people that are gifted, but they ain't oily. Church, God wants some oily folk. Wants some people that are saturated in something that only God can give. Doesn't care about your platform, about your ideologies and all that. Wants to know if at your core is your heart about what God cares about. Yes. Are you ready to be soaked? And let me throw this out here. There are three reasons why I gotta ask this, because you realize oil reveals some stuff about you. Here are these three things that oil reveals. Number one, it reveals that God already knows your motives. God ain't gonna give you a drop without knowing what your motives are. David was not seeking to be king. God wanted somebody that had the heart, right? David was not seeking to be king. David was cool playing his music and tending to his father's sheep. He did not go out seeking to be any more than what he was at the time. Even though God already knew he had the right heart to do what he wanted him to do, David was not out seeking to be any more than what he was. In other words, he was living a humble and simple existence. You see, some of y'all don't realize this, but you've been going through all kind of stuff, and you've had people all of a sudden out of nowhere looking at you crazy and acting crazy around you and saying stuff and being slick and all that kind of stuff. You've been getting blessed and you've been minding your business. And I want you to understand the reason that you're dealing with all that is because God already knows your heart and has already poured out on you the things that you need to become what God destined for you to become. But people don't understand that stuff about you because they think all of a sudden you think you're more than what you are. They're jealous of something that they want, but they don't know what it is they're jealous of. You think they're jealous of something that you just bought. Or you think they don't like you now because you're focusing your attention on the kingdom of God. You think that all of a sudden they're acting funny towards you because you have started to take seriously your future. That ain't it. They don't know or understand how all of a sudden God is blessing you like God is blessing you. They can't put their finger on it. They have watched your life and they have seen your ups and downs in public, and they can't understand how is it possible that you could have gone through all this stuff and yet and still be standing like you're standing in spite of all that. And all you've been trying to do is mind your business. Your motive is, I just want to please God, and that's enough. You can take all this other stuff. I just want to please the Lord, take care of my family, do this, do that, and mind my business. But let me tell you something. God is paying attention to all that, knowing that there is more for you to do. And God is not going to allow you to just sit idly by and not use all that you need to, but still be humble in the process. Because when God elevates you, it will become uncomfortable, but your motive still should be true. I want to serve the Lord the best way I can, because as I do that, I know that God will what? Preserve, keep, elevate, and advance me, because I will not be able to say it was me. It was nobody but the Lord. Can't do this stuff without God's hand being on you. And God won't put his hand on you until he knows that your motives are right. We ain't talking salvation. We talking about what? Work. That's two different things. Yes. Salvation is free.
Yes, it does.
But work comes with a price.
Yes, sir.
And it comes with some oil if you are committed. The oil reveals also your preparation for the moment. You're actually ready for the moment. In the Middle East, monarchs, kings, emperors, whatever, were also known as shepherds. I want you to get that note. They were known also as shepherds. They were known as leaders of flocks. Okay. Y'all got that? God was seeking out a new king. But what God was really seeking out for his people was what? A new shepherd. God wanted somebody that would lead the people in the places of prosperity and of growth. So who better to assume the throne than somebody that already knows how to shepherd? And who better to call than not just a shepherd, but a shepherd that knows about the good shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Ain't that what he wrote? I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you're with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. You prepare a table. Wow. Maybe I will shout. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely. I wish I was in the right place. Come on, take about 10 seconds. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knows what it means to be shepherded and to be a shepherd. Why would God not choose him? You know what it's like to have been broke and to have been messed up, and now you are in a place where you can help somebody. Why would God not choose you? You know what it's like when nobody has come around and given you as much as a hug because you were going through hell and high water. Why would God not choose you? After all you've been through, after every struggle you've ever had, why wouldn't God choose you to help somebody, to lift somebody, to speak a word into their life, to let them know that everything is going to be all right? Is there anybody in here that's got a reason to shout? Because in spite of it all, God has prepared me for this moment. If you stay ready, ain't got to get ready. If you do what you're meant to do, you ain't going to be shocked when God positions you for the moment. He was ready. One more thing, I'm done. The oil reveals your next destination. The oil reveals your next destination. When a monarch, a dignitary, comes to an event, first they gotta get all dressed and all that foolishness. You can tell I don't like black tie affairs. Not because I can't get dressed for it, though. I killed everybody in there. You know? But I don't like them because as being somewhat introverted, I'm going to run into people that are not going to give me no meaningful conversation. Oh, my God. I'm a sports fan, but I can only talk about ball so much. I can only talk about, you know, chit-chat just don't. This is not working for me. But you go to events like this, everybody's standing around and all that stuff. If somebody important is supposed to be there. Everybody is standing until they show up and take their place. I'm getting ready to close for real. Samuel said, "Don't you have another son?" Jesse said, "Yeah, I do. So, what you doing here? Go get him." Mm-hmm. "Well, we all, no. Go get him, because we ain't doing another thing until it shows up." Some of the things that are happening around your existence is not happening the way it ought to. Not because somebody else is not doing something, but really it's because God has already told you what you need to do, and you haven't taken your place.
Say that one more time.
You are holding up the process because you are allowing yourself not to believe that God has appointed and anointed you for this moment.
Come on.
To step into a thing because you think that you're not qualified. Mm-hmm. Nothing was going to happen in that space until David showed up. And when David showed up, Samuel then began the elevation. And remember what I just quoted a few minutes ago? That whole thing about a table being prepared before me in the presence. Oh, you can have family that are your enemies. No, you didn't make them your enemies. They have come. Right? The table was set. David hadn't shown up yet. But when he came, then Samuel, as a representative of God, poured out the oil. We kept pouring. Because it was a horn. I don't know how big the horn was. I don't know how small the horn was. But it kept pouring until the last drop came out. And David, in the presence of his family who did not support him, was now saturated in the anointing that was reserved for him. He was going to be king, which meant as king he would enter into spaces that would not move until he assumed his place. He would eventually be in atmospheres that would not go anywhere until he moved his scepter. He had to learn how to prepare for a moment that wasn't coming at that moment, but was on the horizon. The anointing unveils to you where you are going, not where you are. It reveals to you what's yet to come, not what you got going on today. So God is saying now, get this so you can what? Shift your thinking towards what's to come. Don't prepare for what you have now. Don't prepare for what you have today. Prepare for what is coming. I ain't got a whole lot in my pocket, but my mind changes when I think about the fact that on the horizon, I got a boy that's growing out of this world. He'll probably want to do something with his life. I want to live in such a way that I can be comfortable. So there are things that I have to do now because God has unveiled to me where I am going. I cannot keep my mind strictly on today. God's got today, but guess what else God's got? God's got my tomorrow. So he wants me to be ready now to move into the season. Church, y'all remember almost 18 months ago, I kind of stood around the same spot. And it was back when it was like real bad. I'll say it this way. It was bad when it came to our substance, not to what God was doing. And people were nervous all the time about dollars and cents. And I remember what I said. I was standing right here. And I said to you, I don't care about dollars and cents because the mission is about people. I remember half the church looked at me crazy. As if to say, you ought to care about the dollars and cents. And then a quarter of the church looked at me and said, I don't know what he's saying, but let's see what's going to happen. And then there was another quarter that was just like, we'll just wait and see when it happens. Church keeps on having folks show up. Amen. We have baptized people. We have served people. With what seemed like two fish and five loaves of bread.
Amen. You didn't say that.
God has allowed gateways for us to actually be a blessing to people in a totally different place to see salvation and baptism happen. Yes, I'm talking about going to a prison, which P.S., because it's going on the site, it's all going on the site, whoever thinks that prison ministry ain't ministry, the devil is a liar.
Come on. Come on.
I've watched over 20 brothers being rich with me, saying I'm making my commitment to Christ. I had more water get on me than ever before and didn't care. I've seen men say yes to Jesus. I've seen women say yes to Jesus. I've seen children say yes to Jesus. And it wasn't because of what we thought we had. Can I tell you what it was? The oil. You may not believe it, but this whole place is oily. And you and I are around some oily people. People are not drawn to stuff, no matter what the world tries to tell you. They're not. They're drawn to what God has given you and me. I can't preach unless I have the oil.
Yes.
You can't sing unless you got the oil. You can't serve nobody unless you got the oil. And church, we ain't gonna make it without fresh oil. So my challenge to you is simple. Seek God about the oil. Don't put limitations on yourself. Don't put limitations on God. Because God has a tendency to blow our minds just to laugh at us and say, you thought, I still work. And I will work through you if you let me. That's all God wants to bring today. If you have not made a decision to come to Jesus, today is your opportunity to come. Those that are in this space, those who may be listening, don't waste your moment. Make a decision to come to the one that was born to eventually die, but be risen from the dead that we might have life. If you're here to make a commitment to say, I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life, today is your opportunity. If you've already made that commitment, but you need a place where you can grow and develop, no better place, no better time than here and now. If you're here, would you come?